a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, let's get to it. Back to Will Hardy, the newest member of the Utah Jazz. They don't change coaches very often here with the Utah Jazz, but Will Hardy, now the new head coach of the Jazz. Ben Anderson, kind enough to join us. You hear him every day from 10 to 12, as well as Jazz Insider at KSLSports.com. Ben, ultimately surprised by this, or did you get the vibe it might be Will over the last week or so?
No, I mean, even going back, I think, to the Wednesday before Quinn Snyder hung it up, which was June 5th. I think it was like June 2nd. I'd written an article at KSLSports.com of names that could replace him, and I think Will Hardy was the top of my list. I think this was really kind of the obvious name that's been out there for a while. I think the Jazz were going to do their due diligence, but I don't think there's a major surprise that Hardy ends up being the guy.
All right, so Will Hardy announced as the Jazz next head coach. How does he fit? How does he fit with the talent on the court? As far as what you know of where he comes from and what his scheme and ability might look like, how does he fit here?
Actually, I think it's more about his fit with the front office, which is maybe why Quinn Snyder stepped down in the first place. You bring in a guy who's 34 because you want to make sure that the power of that balance between the front office and the head coaching staff lies in one spot or the other. And look, the Jazz are going to give Will Hardy everything he needs to succeed. They need him to do well. But this, I think, is about executing a vision that Danny Ainge and Ryan Smith and Justin Zanuck and now David Fizdale, which I'm sure we will talk about, see for this team. You know, this is about Danny Ainge and the control they want to have and how they want this team to look. That's why you go out and hire a first-year guy who can come in and be molded a little bit to reflect what the front office wants.
Is this, when you make a hire like this, do you have to think about how he'll interact with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell and how his persona will work with those guys? Or do you just say, you know what, we feel like this is the best guy, let's just go get him, and whatever happens from that, we'll figure it out?
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it. I mean, I think you get the best candidate for the job. But he checks all the boxes, which is why he was the top of this name, right, or the top of this list right away, and why he made so much sense. Under Greg Popovich, which basically if you're an assistant coach under Greg Popovich, you're going to get a head coaching shot. Basically everybody does. He has ties to the Boston Celtics organization, which even though he didn't move over there under Danny Ainge, Danny Ainge's son still works for the organization, is going to have inside info in on him. A team that just went to the finals, their lead assistant always ends up getting a job, which is why Kevin Young in Phoenix was being rumored 2 years ago for head coaching jobs and interviewed for the Jazz, but he was the lead assistant for the Boston Celtics this year. It just, everything really kind of pointed towards him. Plus, he's a really bright kid, went to Williams College, which is the top liberal arts school in the country. He just kind of has everything. He's a little bit of the wunderkind. And as we mentioned, I think youth probably helped him out in this situation, when in certain jobs, it probably would have hurt him.
The other announcement that came down quickly after the Will Hardy announcement was that David Fizdale was going to be hired as an assistant GM. Take us into that office, that GM office, with, you know, now you've got a couple of different minds and opinions, and then you've got a big mind and opinion in Danny Ainge, and that room feels a little like it's getting a little more crowded.
Yeah, I think it is, but I think some of that's to do with the day-to-day work. We've talked a lot about how Danny Ainge doesn't want to be a part of that, and so he's finding guys to come in, and take up some of those roles and maybe be a, you know, not a mouthpiece. I don't want to necessarily say that, but a communicator, somebody who comes through and you know, deals with more of the day-to-day stuff that maybe Danny Ainge doesn't have the energy or, you know, willingness to do anymore at this point, but still has the knowledge on how to execute a team and how to get a team, hopefully, to the promised land if you're a Jazz fan. So you bring in other names. You bring in guys like David Fizdale, who has a long relationship with Dwayne Wade, was Dwayne Wade's assistant under Eric Spoelstra when they were winning championships with the Miami Heat, has overseen Memphis, probably has a relationship, obviously, then with Mike Conley. Like, I just think there's a lot of reasons why Fizdale makes sense there as well.
So I think that once you see not just the Will Hardy hire, but as you mentioned, the Fizdale hire, that you can see the culture that you're trying to replicate, and you're seeing the Celtics, you're seeing a little San Antonio, and you're seeing a little Miami thrown in the mix there. And certainly those aren't bad cultures to try to emulate, but I do think that that was an underlying theme of what they were going after, just based on the kind of guys that they brought in, to not just on the staff, but on the in the front office as well.
Well, the Jazz were pretty monochromatic, I guess is the word I'll use. It's probably not appropriate, but you know, the Jazz, and I mean it in the sense that they were just hiring guys from the Spurs organization. And that's not to say that that's not exactly what Will Hardy is also. He's, you know, spent 1 year out of the Spurs organization since he's been with the Jazz, but they were kind of trying to do it one way. Quinn Snyder was a Spurs guy. Technically, I mean, Dennis Lindsay had been an assistant GM with Houston before, but that's what he was doing with the Spurs under R.C. Buford. Like, they just very much had this rip-off Spurs mentality, which is fine. It's successful. The Jazz built really good teams using that model, but I do think there's more ways to win, and you probably need to be a little bit more versatile than that because, you know, what's not overlooked at the reason the Spurs won a bunch of titles is because they have a top 10 player all time in Tim Duncan. And you have to be willing to do other things. There's more than one way to skin a cat if you're going to win in the NBA. So I think diversifying how you win by going and picking out pieces from the other elite franchises in the NBA, like Miami, who's been a stalwart over the last, really, 15 years now, I guess you could say, in the NBA. Basically, as long as Pat Riley's been there, they've been elite. Boston Celtics have done a really nice job since Danny Ainge has been there, which was like bringing him in was smart. And then going and getting guys off of staffs that aren't necessarily Spurs guys, I think is interesting. And then it, you know, leads to the next question of how does Will Hardy fill out this staff and who are the names that get brought in?
When you see this hire, Ben, does it say win now hire to you or does it say rebuild long term hire to you?
I think it probably checks both boxes a little bit. I don't think it initiates a rebuild. You know, I don't think it's that type of hire where you say, okay, you're starting all the way over. I actually think that's a huge responsibility to put in the lap of a 34-year-old to say, we're starting a franchise over, and we think you can guide it. Like, I think it's better to let some of the players fix some of Will Hardy's mistakes that he's inevitably going to make as a first-year head coach because they've done it before and been there. So you leave him with some all-stars and some guys who know how to do it, which is also why I wouldn't be surprised if we see a former head coach hired to his assistant coaching staff that can help him through some of this process. I would keep an eye on that in the next moves of who's going to join the Jazz. But and actually where Fizdale helps quite a bit, I suspect. But I don't think you start over and throw all that at him. I think that ends up being pretty heavy for a guy who's just 34 years old. So you give him pieces to win. You make that transition easier. And then if 2 years, 3 years from now, you don't have Donovan Mitchell, you don't have Rudy Gobert, you still have a guy who can grow with the team and be a part of the franchise and isn't what Terry Stotts would have been, who's in his 60s. Frank Vogel's only 49, so he's not old by any stretch of the imagination, but would have been a little bit of that later retread in his career. I think that's why you go young. It helps you now win young, but also if you do need to change and really start a rebuild, he can stick with you.
So let's talk about the staff. Do you anticipate that the wide net that was cast will also include potential guys that would be on this staff with Will Hardy? Obviously at 34, not the most experienced guy. Alex Jensen, I'm not sure, you know, being passed up for the job is overly too keen on sticking around, but do you think there'd be a spot there if he wanted it? How do you think this plays out?
I would imagine they would want some holdovers, and especially if they're keeping Rudy Gobert around because Alex Jensen is Rudy's guy or vice versa. So I think in that sense that maybe that's where you keep some of the familiar names here. And then, yeah, I do think because he's so young, because he's only worked for the Spurs, because a lot of those names that he was working with, like Becky Hammon or Tim Duncan's not coaching anymore. Becky Hammon's got a great head coaching job with the Las Vegas Aces. does he have a bunch of guys of his own? Does Will Hardy have a bunch of his guys that he would bring in? Joe Mazzulla from the Boston Celtics is a name you could keep an eye on. But Joe Mazzulla probably just moves up and takes over Will Hardy's job on the Celtics bench now, because he also interviewed for the Jazz job. So I would suspect some of this hire also allows Danny Ainge, Ryan Smith, Justin Zanuck, in no particular order, to bring in people who they think could help this transition, could help Will Hardy. So, yeah, maybe that's where a Frank Vogel steps in for a year, or a Terry Stotts steps in for a year and just says, hey, I'm going to show you how to do it. I still want to be a head coach next year. This is my opportunity. Another name I'd keep an eye on is James Borrego, who got let go by the Charlotte Hornets, worked with Will Hardy with the Spurs. Brett Brown also could be in that conversation as well, former Philadelphia 76ers head coach. So if the Jazz go that route and want an assistant who's familiar with Will Hardy, those are a couple of former leading guys who could be in the conversation.
So, you know, Ben, when the Utah Jazz were starting into this head coaching hire, one of my biggest wants or requests is to get a guy, a voice that Donovan Mitchell respects, or at the very least is demanded to listen to. Like, you've got to listen to him. You have to respect him. You can't call off his plays. You can't override him. You can't ignore his defensive advice. You can't shake him off when he's trying to talk to you about his teammates. Like, I want a voice that Donovan Mitchell respects and listens to. Can Will Hardy be this guy?
Well, I'll tell you this. The first text that Donovan Mitchell is going to send, he's going to send two texts today. He's going to send one to Jason Tatum, who was in the same draft class, and one to Jaylen Brown, who they were really close in the Orlando bubble. They did a lot of the social justice stuff together. They're pretty close buddies as well with the Boston Celtics. And I bet you Donovan Mitchell asked, hey, what's the deal with Will Hardy? And he asked Jason Tatum and he asked Jaylen Brown. And if they can give him a good endorsement, which I would imagine they would, that probably goes a long way with Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell's going to listen to those guys, and those guys just went to the finals. Those guys are where Donovan Mitchell wants to be, and they did it with a coach like Will Hardy. So I would suspect he gets an endorsement that would probably give Will Hardy some buy-in from Donovan Mitchell right away. And then if you look at what Ime Udoka did midway through the season with the Boston Celtics last year, where they were 500 on like January 19th and turned it around and ended up going to the finals and were the best team in the NBA over the last 4 or 5 months of the season, outside of the last six games of the year, that's a glowing endorsement that he was able to go in. He was able to put Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in certain spots that they hadn't been in to succeed. He changed the roster around with Marcus Smart, put him in a starting point guard spot, and made those adjustments to win. And it took sacrifices from other guys, but it helped that team get to the finishing line. So I think that probably does help Donovan Mitchell when it comes to, are you going to listen to this next guy? The success that Boston had, and what I would imagine are probably endorsements from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
I don't know if you've seen this tweet. I think this just popped up since we've started this conversation. But Woj tweets out that Hardy was a group of four finalists, and your final four obviously Will Hardy, Joe Mazzulla, Adrian Griffin, and Alex Jensen. Interesting. Johnny Bryant didn't break into the final four, but. Give me your thoughts on that group of four, and if anything really surprises you there, looking at hindsight, knowing that Will Hardy eventually got the job.
I nothing jumps out to me specifically. The thing I'd keep an eye on is if any of those guys, want to end up taking the job with the Jazz. But it's hard to say, hey, you were number two. Do you want to come back and be
exactly.
the guy?
Yeah.
We just saw that with Charlotte. Mike D'Antoni was number two to Kenny Atkinson. Kenny Atkinson did one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, backing out of a head coaching job. And then they had to go back to their former head coach in Steve Clifford. They couldn't go back to Mike D'Antoni and ask him if he wants the job after they didn't hire him the first time. So that might make that difficult to convince any of those guys to stick around. It looks like the Jazz had a pretty nice wide net that they cast. And I think those were some of the names that had been thrown around pretty early. In fact, I think every single one of those guys, maybe other than Joe Mazzulla, was on kind of that initial list of names on Monday, or maybe even late Sunday night when Quinn Snyder resigned. Like, I don't think, even though the Jazz talked to 15 guys, there were really over 15 guys in the running for this job.
Are you surprised Johnny Bryant didn't have a closer shot at this thing?
Yeah, I've heard kind of mixed, not signals about Johnny Bryant, because I don't want to sound like he's not deserving of a head coach. I honestly don't know. I've heard in some ways people think he's more of an individual development guy than necessarily like a franchise guy. Like maybe he's going to be better served working with your individual stars than he is overseeing the big picture of a team. And that's just kind of a weird little thing I've heard kind of offhand, I think, in the past. So maybe in that sense, he doesn't have that reputation around. But I would think with Johnny Bryant, the success he's had with the Jazz, learning from Tibbs, who was a Danny Ainge guy at one point in his career, maybe he would have gotten a little bit further in this coaching search. But hey, you know what? Good for Alex Jensen for making it to the finalist group, because he's pretty soft-spoken. I don't know him as well as certainly some people in the market do, but he's extremely kind. He's always been very generous with his time, and I hope to see him end up getting a shot if he's not back with the Jazz next year.
Well, the timing of this announcement coming from first Shams and then Adrian Wojnarowski, it feels quick. I had settled into the thought that it's going to be a minute. It's going to be maybe even in middle to end of July. And here we are June 28th with the announcement. Can you read into anything, Ben, that this hire is being made, that it's a five-year contract, and that it's done now and not waiting into July?
I was a little surprised. I mean, I think I said about 10 minutes before you guys went on the air with Jake today that I wouldn't be surprised if this thing ended up going to July 15th. And, yeah, you kind of kept this going, let Alex Jensen do the summer league stuff, and then you make your hire. But, you know, if you have the right guy and you've been going through this process, make the hire. It's okay to pull the trigger if you're confident in who it's going to be. And if you think, hey, this is the power dynamic we want, he understands the deal, he's not going to necessarily get in the way when it comes to free agency hires, that's a good thing. But you know what? It's probably hard for some guys, even though the Jazz don't have a ton of assets, to go out and acquire players. You know, you trade, it doesn't matter who your head coach is. The guy has to come back to you in a trade. But if you're sitting down with a veteran who wants to win and is in the last year or two of his career and can only sign for the veteran minimum, he may want to know who the head coach is going to be. You know, he may be around for a while. The Jazz do have the taxpayer mid-level exception, which is $6.5 million. They don't have to use it, but if they choose to use it, that's a pretty significant investment. And whoever that guy is, he may want to know who the head coach is going to be. So in that sense, it makes sense to bring in a guy before free agency starts coming up on Saturday.
So is this going to be, I mean, look, we got Salt Lake Summer League coming up next week, and Alex Jensen was supposed to be the coach. How weird could these next couple weeks be if Alex says, you know what, you passed me up, I don't really want to be around here? I mean, this could be an interesting transition over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I mean, you could have David Fizdale step in and do some of it if he needed to, because he's done it before, you know. And then I think being a part of a new situation, some guys would probably be happy to jump on. In fact, you know, don't be surprised if Will Hardy does it. Will Hardy's been in Salt Lake City. That might be actually how some fans end up recognizing him. They'll say, I've seen that guy walking around on the Spurs sideline before. He was the Spurs summer league coach, including here in Salt Lake City, from 2015 to 2018. So he might be kind of a familiar face that Jazz fans will say, like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He's done it before. So he knows how to run this. But I would suspect they don't want to bog him down all of his time by doing that. So there might be a few names step in. And look, if he wants to hire Alex Jensen and Alex Jensen wants to stick around, he could certainly fill that role.
Well, Ben, we got to move on, but before we do, I just want to get just the overall initial opinion and reaction of this hire from you. Good, bad, or just wait and see?
I thought the weird Quinn Snyder exit press conference that featured Danny Ainge felt like Danny Ainge kind of staking his claim in the Utah Jazz and saying this was his franchise, and I think this fits a straight line from that. He's going to get a younger guy who's going to be on board with Danny Ainge, and there's not going to be that struggle between the head coach and the front office. And that's not to say there was between Quinn Snyder and Danny Ainge, but when you've been around and had the success that Quinn Snyder has, you probably suspect you're going to do things one way and you want to do things one way. I suspect this just kind of continues the Danny Ainge era of the Utah Jazz. And we haven't seen enough of Danny Ainge to know whether that's a good thing or not. But you look at what he did in Boston, you say, he's got a pretty darn good batting average.
Ben, appreciate it. Great write-up already at KSLSports.com. More stuff forthcoming, but appreciate you carving out some time for us on a big day.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Ben Anderson, Jazz Insider at KSLSports.com. Also, every day from 10 to 12 right here on 97.5 KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.